West Ham do have the lead. And it's Angelo Ogbonna. The merest of touches from him. The Italian defender rises above everybody else inside the penalty area.
Hello and welcome back to A View from the Bullens with me, Mick Kemp, Lee McLean, Ben Winstanley, Jack Kemp, Matthew Neal, and our guest today is Matt Smith from Tactically Everton. Lee, Everton nil, West Ham 1. I'm sure you've got a lot to say, so far away.
I can't believe you've come to me first as well when we get beat. I have got a lot to say, Mick. I think it was a very predictable outcome yesterday. I think when we got that news a couple of days before the game that Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison weren't going to be available, I think the collective feelings of Evertonians was, oh no, this could be a tough day against a decent West Ham side who have improved a lot of late under Moyes, and ultimately that's what it turned out. I think our shortcomings sort of caught up with us yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a great performance. I think we lacked the guile and a bit of energy. I think the crowds were flat, possibly linked to the team news before the game and the starting 11 that we saw. Certainly a couple of choices. And I think that all just played its part on what we saw ultimately over the 90 minutes. West Ham, I think, were value for the 1-0. I think just giving them credit, first of all, I think it was a decent away performance. Declan Rice was absolutely top man. I definitely can see what all the fuss is about now with him. I thought Antonio was a real handful up front for them. Really, really good performance alone up front from him. But as for Everton, I think aside from maybe Michael Keane did okay, I thought Gray and Townsend did well. I thought they played well again. You know, on another day with somebody else on the end of some of those deliveries, it could have been a little bit different. So it's not the worst team performance I've seen, but I think we were let down by the last 5 years and we keep coming back to it. I think I've seen tweets and the sort of condemnation, the universal condemnation from Evertonians around the recruitment and the absolutely terrible incompetence on behalf of the board brands since 2015. Now, when you see that starting lineup and that squad after we've spent however many hundreds of millions of pounds, you just think, how's that happened? And I'm sorry, it brings me, you've got to come on to Rondon. And I don't like singling players out. I don't think any of us do. But I give him the benefit of the doubt for the last month, thinking, is he just not fit? Is he just getting back up to speed after being in, you know, a rubbish league and hardly playing any football? But always at the back of my mind, I had a fear that he just wasn't up to it. He's not sort of an Everton standard player. He was shocking. You know, like really, really bad. And I'm struggling to put forward an argument as to anything that he's good at. He's slow. He's immobile. He doesn't jump. You know, if he's on there to replace Calvert-Lewin and be a target man and a focal point up front, then, he doesn't do that because he doesn't hold the ball. He doesn't even jump for headers. So he went up for a header in the 66th minute yesterday, and an ironic cheer went up from the crowd because he won a header. I mean, and that says it all. He's not good enough. I'm sorry. And if he's our backup striker, and I know he wasn't being brought in to start games, but if that's the case, why is he starting games? If he wasn't fit, and the thought was, we'll bring him in, we'll let him get up to speed, play the last 10 minutes, give someone else a go, try something. How much worse can Dobbin be, or anyone else for that matter? I'm not just banging the drum for him, because it was like playing with 10 men. You then add Iwobi, and I had an absolute nightmare on Twitter saying Iwobi deserves to start, and then he puts a performance in like that. He was absolutely disgraceful, him yesterday, and he's fast running out of chances, and you can just tell patience has run out on behalf of a lot of Evertonians with him. So that was like 9 men. Like a lot of people have said. So We were let down, I think, by a couple of really poor individual performances on the day, but one from a player who isn't capable, I don't think, of a decent performance. He just hasn't got it in him. He looks like a 31-year-old whose legs have completely gone. He had one half-decent season going back 2 or 3 years now, and that's, I think, all it was. It was half-decent. It wasn't anything special. It's not like he's consistently produced the goods in the Premier League. We've signed an absolute dud here, and it saddens me that that's what we've got in front of us after this investment from Mascheri in the last 5 years. So Rondon didn't ask to be signed. This is the fault of the board, and this is the fault of Brands, that he is the end product of their activity in the last 5 years. It just sickens me as an Evertonian. So yeah, not happy. But ultimately, I think, Mick, you've said it off air. You're right. I think when the dust settles, it's a defeat. It's a defeat to a decent side without our two strikers, two best attacking players. It's not the end of the world. And if we beat Watford on Saturday, then I still think it is a decent start. But we need Richarlison and or Calvert-Lewin back very, very quickly. Because if we don't, I think we're screwed.
Jack, two questions for you. A lot has been said over the performance on social media of yesterday's game, the 1-0 defeat to West Ham. But also, like Lee's just touched on, Salomon Rondon's performance as well. I do sympathise with Rondon just a little bit. First question is the performance, what were your thoughts? And then Salomon Rondon.
It wasn't a great performance, obviously. It wasn't a good performance. It was poor. I don't think it was as bad as some of the reaction has been on social media, I'll be honest. I thought, like we've said, you know, and it's not difficult to work out, without Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, Everton do look toothless. But most clubs would be, if you take out your best two attackers and your two main goal threats. Thought West Ham were excellent for the first 20 minutes. Thought they knocked the ball around really well. But I think if you think back to the first half, you know, the first real good chance fell to Everton with Iwobi, and it was a decent bit of football, got down on the right-hand side, cut the ball back, and not quite sure what Iwobi's doing really. But yeah, like Leah said, I think there was a couple of performances from individuals that were not good. I personally thought Everton did a decent job with Antonio. I've seen him really, you know, rip a team apart on his own up top and really bully. I thought Michael Keane and Ben Godfrey did all right, because I was very concerned when I saw Mina on the bench, because I thought Mina would be the most sort of capable centre-back in dealing with him. I thought they did all right. I would definitely echo what Lee said. I thought Declan Rice was superb, the best player on the pitch. But if the game had finished 0-0, I don't think I wouldn't have walked out of that ground thinking Everton got away with one today. Because I didn't think there was a lot in it when you look at chances. I don't think there was. I think Everton had a couple of good chances. I think they did. They might have had more of the ball, but I think most clubs are going to have more of the ball when they play Everton. Possession is a nothing statistic, really. It doesn't really bother me. So, yeah, on the game, Mick, not great, but I've definitely seen a lot worse.
And, Jack, I'm just going to stick with you. Obviously, Salomon Rondon's performance is becoming under scrutiny. Again, Lee's, you know, had his say on his performance. What were your thoughts? And do you think he deserves more time? He should be pulled out? Shouldn't have started? Should have started? Where do you sit with Salomon Rondon?
I think if Richarlison's fit next week, he comes straight back in and Rondon drops to the bench. It's a little bit unfortunate, isn't it? Because I think it was Jamie Carragher who said it on Sky Sports that Rondon was not bought to play up front on his own and to play 90 minutes, especially at this stage. He wasn't. But he's having, well, Benitez feels he has to, because Everton don't have any other options. It's a difficult one with Rondon. Like, he's a third choice centre forward who should be just coming on for games to try and get a goal, or, you know, if we're two up sort of thing with 10 minutes to go and you can bring off Calvert-Lewin or Richarlison. He is struggling, he is. But I think there's a danger that we're comparing him to Calvert-Lewin. They're very different centre-forwards. There aren't many centre-forwards in the league that do what Calvert-Lewin does in terms of winning the flick-ons, athleticism, running the channels, you know, being really difficult against centre-backs, but being able to score with, you know, his head as well as his feet. Rondon isn't that type of player. He's completely different. I think the one thing I would sort of... the only criticism I have of Rafa Benitez yesterday was he had two substitutes left. And I was saying, we were talking about it in the ground, Mick, I didn't really understand why in those last 5-10 minutes he didn't even throw on like a Yerry Mina up front, because all it takes is a corner. And if you want any Everton player currently, without Calvert-Lewin, to win the ball from a corner, you want it to be Mina. So I don't know why he didn't just throw caution to the wind and just say, right, Mina, get on. Dobbing, get on, we'll go 3 or 4 up front. And I think Everton went out with a bit of a whimper, really, which was a bit of a shame. But yeah, I think you've just got to sort of have, you know, relatively low expectations with Rondon. We all knew he wasn't going to be a great signing, but he was just to sort of fill a gap, really. But that's because he's having to fill a gap because of the mess that Everton are in.
Ben, I know you were bitterly disappointed with the scoreline. And, you know, we had a look at this 4-block fixture before the next international break, and we were talking in depth on the last podcast. If we could pick up, you know, so many points, it would put us in a great position heading into late November. What were your thoughts on the game? And obviously, again, I know you weren't happy with the Luka Dean performance. You think that his form's dipped, and you weren't happy with Alex Iwobi. So tell me what your thoughts were and your reflecting thoughts now you've had a day to sleep on it.
First of all, big welcome to Matt from Tactically Everton. Great page on Twitter. If anyone listening, have a look at the threads, the race, really good content. And isn't it good to have so many different opinions today? It's good to have a full house. But my opinions, I'm going to echo a few thoughts from the previous two speakers, and Jack and Lee. I feel like if it would have ended 0-0, no one would have potentially batted an eyelid. I felt like the effort and performance wasn't quite there for where he wanted to be, but this was always going to catch us out, I think, with regards to injuries and Yerry Mina being out. I think this is the game where finally hit home, where we just didn't have the firepower to obviously kick on, get in front, and then come from behind. I think we could have played for 200 minutes and not scored. I feel like I've beat it on the drum for Benitez being a bit of a reactive manager, and I think yesterday was the first time where I thought we need to make a substitution around the 65th, 67th minute when it went a bit flat, and he didn't make that substitution, and then suddenly West Ham go down the other end and concede. And in relation to the goal, another Everton comedy of errors, Jordan Pickford getting out-muscled by Antonio. A bit of a concern, that again. I know he's jumped high, but if you're a goalkeeper, you need to be clearing that and clearing out the striker as well. And then let's go on to the actual goal. Ogbonna had a bit of a run on Ben Godfrey. And look, Ben Godfrey is very raw. He's still got a lot to prove at centre-half. His best performances for Everton have been a fullback. He's aggressive. He's physical. He'll get stuck in. But aerially now, a few times this season, he's lost headers. Ogbonna yesterday, Charlie Austin away at QPR a couple of times. And starting to now concern me a little bit how a big centre-half like he is can't win the headers at the back, which is predominantly one of the major issues, what you're going to be doing performing throughout the game. So that's a bit of a concern. Obviously, the lads have spoken on Rondon. I feel a bit sorry for him, really. As Carragher quite rightly said on Sky Sports, he's brought in to come on for 20 minutes and he's been leading the line. And let's get it right. If Cheng Tosun, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin all fit, Ellis Sims, Lewis Dobbin, they'll get anywhere near the first 11 or even the squad, say that. So I understand people's frustration. But obviously, I'm fortunate enough to speak to people within the scouting network at Everton, and the noise is coming out of Everton is that they're good, there's a talent, but they're nowhere near ready for the first 11, nowhere near. The difference from the under-23 setup to the Premier League is enormous. And at the moment, they're good League One Championship strikers. And obviously, we've seen that of Ellis Sims. He went to Blackpool last year, performed really well. And then it gets Everton fans excited, beating the drum. I think people like me left that game yesterday going, when's Cheng Tosun back? And I think I put a tweet out, a lot of people were agreeing, to be fair, because with Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin being out, there's no firepower. I know Tosin moves like a wardrobe, like Rondon as well, but he's a very good finisher when he gets given the chance. And as you said, Mick, Rondon, the performance wasn't great. I don't think it was good at all. I do feel like he should have been substituted at 65 minutes. That was the time to make the substitution. He was knackered. He'd had a few decent chances, a few flick-ons, but just wasn't going right for him. So I think he should have started, but I think there was a chance for him to be substituted to give another one a go, maybe put Damari Gray up front, but then you lose your potential ability to beat a man on the wing. I felt before the game, I was very shocked not to see Anthony Gordon play. Obviously, West Ham had a young fullback on the right at right back. And Alex Iwobi, we know he predominantly wants to play in a 10 in a more central position. He was tucking inside and we were losing the width on the left. And as Anthony Gordon proved against Manchester United the week before or a few weeks earlier, that he's got a really good relationship with Lucas Digne. He hugs the touchline. He gives Everton natural width. And I was just a bit shocked for that substitution to come in. So I thought he didn't deserve to be dropped. And for Iwobi to drop a performance like he had done was absolutely disgraceful, really. And he's just got to think for the next game. He can't surely merit a place to start next week. But as you touched on in the question there, Mick, I was quite shocked of Lucas Digne's performance. It hasn't really been touched on, really. But he's just, what has happened this season? We touched on it last podcast with Bawley, and going forward, he's just not producing the goods as he was the past few seasons. And is it confidence? Is it the system? Is it what Rafa's telling him to do? I just don't know. I'm more used to seeing Lucas Digne bomb up the left, whipping a ball, creating really good chances, but just didn't happen at all yesterday. Thought Michael Keane was our best player on the pitch. Thought he performed really well. And I thought Seamus Coleman performed well, coming in at right back, being out for so long. But I think looking in, it was screaming out for an extra man in midfield to obviously block out Suchek. Declan Rice, as the lads have said, absolutely ran that game yesterday. He was fantastic. And you can clearly see why some of the big boys are sniffing around them. But when you're looking at the bench and you've got Gbamon and Davis, maybe Rafa's thinking, I can't risk it. I can't afford to lose that attacking threat by going five in the middle or three in the middle, which was needed. Maybe if someone like Andre Gomez was available, could have come on to dictate play, get on the ball a bit. But we were just overswamped in the midfield. And it was a 0-0 game all over for me. But look, we got beat 1-0 off a set piece, 3 points down. But it's inevitable we bounce back against Watford now, Mick, to be honest. So massive, massive week ahead.
Matthew Neil, touching on what the guys have said, I read a really interesting article today, and it said that he felt this certain journalist felt that Everton lost this game during the summer by not recruiting well enough, and maybe the previous last few transfer windows as well. Is that a fair assessment for you?
Yeah, because you know you're going to have injuries, and teams have injuries, and unfortunately, it seems to happen with our best players and our key players, but. You look at, for me, the whole game just typified where we are as a team and as a squad, really, unfortunately. We've all been really impressed with our directness this season, how quick we are, how quick we break. And I think it was Jack who said possession isn't important. I agree, it's what you do with the possession. But unfortunately, yesterday, some of the structural issues that we've seen over the past year or two kicked in for me yesterday. When you can't control the game at times, you've got to be able to use that ball well when you do have it. And I thought we really lacked ideas yesterday. I thought our attacks were very one-dimensional. I think aside from a couple of decent balls from Townsend and a few balls in from Gray, I thought we really lacked any creativity. The boys are right. I think for all West Ham's possession, I thought we defended our box really well. I think Moisey sort of spoke about that in his press conference, that you know, despite West Ham, they controlled the football and they moved it much better than us. You know, they're much further ahead in their development than we are. Obviously, you know, Moisey's been there for 18 months and Rafa's been here for, what, 7-8 games now. And you can see that because they're off movement ball is just incredible compared to where they were when he came in. You know, they look like a real football team for me now. And that, I think that was my frustration and annoyance came from that yesterday, because, like you said, through the recruitment, because I don't actually see any solutions within this squad to solve the issues that I'm talking about, unfortunately. I don't see a midfield player that can dictate the ball from deep. I don't see a creative player that can play sort of in that 10 and link the midfield to attack. So that's frustrating, and that comes down to recruitment. I don't know who the journalist you're speaking about there. I think that's, you know, a little bit harsh on this summer, because clearly other circumstances dictated this summer, but previous summers, 100%. And that's not just going talking about Marcel Brands, that's talking about Steve Walsh as well. But for me, I always go back to it, the amount of midfield players that we bought under Marcel Brands, and, you know, not many of them are good enough, are they? And the boys are right. Yesterday was crying out for me, a midfield player that could get on the ball, drive us slightly further forward, and start linking our play. It's never easy when you're essentially playing with 10 men. I actually thought it was probably Rondon's worst performance yesterday, because I seen snippets of him versus Manchester United. I thought, you know, what he's doing all right there. He's linking the play. And that's what we need him to do. I'm not there. I actually don't expect him to score loads of goals this season. I didn't expect him to get more than 5 goals, to be honest. What I thought he could do was keep us in a system and a structure that meant even when Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison were there, we could still play to our maximum. And I didn't think he did that at all yesterday. I thought he was really, really poor. Positionally, I didn't get what he was doing. He kept coming short at times, and then he didn't have the pace to get back. So essentially, it went back into the midfield and there was no one up top. You know, the amount of times that Zuma and Ogbonna were stood there without anyone on them, they must have thought this is the easiest, you know, game we're ever going to play, because just no one was commanding those centre backs for West Ham, and that meant there was very little space for us to work through the midfield. They cramped out Gray and Townsend really, really easily in the end, and that's the disappointing thing for me. The disappointment also comes from, there's no way Rafa Benitez can be stood on that touchline and be happy with the performance of certain individuals. We could see it after 65 minutes. Changes should have been made for me. I'd have brought Gordon on much earlier than what he did for Iwobi. I thought Iwobi was really poor. Again, it's just not enough goal or, you know, goal contribution from him. You know, that's a sitter in the first half. And for me, he should have made changes much, much earlier. I don't think Tom Davies coming on would have made a difference as well for me. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but we didn't have any chance to dictate the game. And with 10 minutes before they scored, for me, was the critical part of the game. We were on top. We come out second half, we were on top 60 minutes, and we let them back in. We let them back in, and they started getting corners and set pieces. And they've scored the most goals from set pieces since Moyes come in. I think it was 17 goals they got last season. And for me, that period of game is where the game was won and lost. So for me now, just hopefully Rafa can look at it, and hopefully that's a one-off in terms of some of those structural issues, because it's still been a good start to the season. It wasn't a catastrophic performance. We still look a solid enough team, but recruitment and the way that people have operated in this football club has let us down, and they've let the managers down. And if I'm Rafa Benitez, I'm sat there going, I'm worried here, because I've been let down as well.
Matt Smith, welcome. Matt Smith is from Tactically Everton. Matt, just touching on what Matthew Neil has just said in regards to Salomon Rondon fitting into a system and allowing Everton to play a certain way when the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are unavailable. Do you think that's why Rondon is starting and maybe not Gray up top? Or like Lee said, Lee would like to see maybe a youngster given a chance. Do you think that is why Rafa is persisting with Salomon Rondon, hoping that he can link up the play, hold the ball, and allow Gray and Townsend to get into the game?
See, but when he got brought in, I thought that's exactly what he was looking for, that sort of target man role. Play it into his feet, play off him with
Gray running in and Awobi and Gordon, whoever it may be, but he's simply not doing any of these things. You know, he wins a decent amount of headers statistically, but I think he also loses a lot of headers as well. And I think a lot of the heading stats are sort of swayed when he comes across for a sort of throw-in and goes up against a small fullback, because he did actually win six headers against West Ham, and their centre-backs between them only won one, which I was quite surprised about. But like I said, I'm pretty sure most of them is just him drifting off to fullback spaces. But yeah, like I said, I think he was brought in to be, although he doesn't run the channels like Calvert-Lewin does, but he's that sort of focal point, that target man. But anytime the ball comes into him, chest, head, he's flicking it onto nowhere. He's chesting it, and he's getting tackled. He's getting bullied off the ball. He's not offering absolutely anything. And I think Ben made a good point about the sort of link between the under-23s. Clearly, these players aren't good enough yet. And the likes of Ellis Sims, you know, Dobbin, you know, he's obviously looks good in the under-23s, but can he play as a sort of main striker focal point at sort of first team level yet? Yeah, clearly not. You know, I expect Dobbin to, when he comes on, to be playing sort of wide forward, maybe playing off the striker. I don't think you can expect someone of his age and his stature to be playing as a sort of focal point of a team. So I think that's why he's just persisting with Rondon. I think yesterday could have been the turning point, though, because there's got to be a time when you think, okay, right, he might have the stature and the size of sort of Calvert-Lewin, but he's really not offering anything. And we sort of have to try and think, right, do we have to play a little bit of a different way now? Hopefully, next week we'll have, it looks like obviously Calvert-Lewin's not going to be available for a while, but hopefully we'll have Richarlison to sort of play that sort of figurehead up front, because it's so clear that's what we're lacking at the moment.
Jack, moving away from Salomon Rondon, Alex Iwobi is another person that's coming under heavy criticism from his performance against West Ham. What do you think Rafa Benitez should do with Alex Iwobi? He's another one where fans are now starting to almost berate Rafa for persisting with him. Numerous managers have persisted with Alex Iwobi. Like you said yesterday at the game, Carlo Ancelotti was another one who persisted with Iwobi. Do you think now is the time to say, Iwobi, you know, you've had more than enough chances, and give Anthony Gordon a run of games, maybe half a dozen games, and see where, we'll see how he develops as a player? Because at Manchester United, just before the international break, Anthony Gordon was very, very good.
Yeah, would agree with you about the Anthony Gordon shout, Mick. I think he was very unlucky not to start yesterday. I'd rather see Anthony Gordon in the starting 11 than Alex Iwobi at the minute. I think the thing that Alex Iwobi has got going against him is that Everton paid quite a hefty price tag for him. And it doesn't matter if you've never really heard of the player. When the football club spend, what was it, around the 25 million on a player, you instantly have quite high expectations because it's a large amount of money. But with every passing season, 25 million is sort of the going rate now. But it's still a lot of money to spend. And I think fans have much, much greater patience when it's a player who's been the product of the youth academy. Because let's be honest, there will be games where Gordon will be anonymous. There will be, because he's still learning his trade in the Premier League, which is completely understandable. But players will have more patience. The one thing that, and I know you just said we were discussing it at the ground yesterday, is I do scratch my head in wonder how Alex Iwobi played over 100 games for Arsenal. Now, I know this is not the Arsenal of sort of the late 90s, the early 2000s, when we were an excellent side. But he played 100 times for Arsenal. I feel like I've seen enough now to suggest that there isn't, I think there is a bit of a player there, but I don't think Everton can persist with it and wait for it to come now. You know, how old is Alex Iwobi? Somewhere, he must be around his mid-20s, 25. You know, he shouldn't be too far off his peak, but he looks like he's way off it and he's still learning his game. And like I said, he's played 100 times for Arsenal. So I completely understand the fans' frustrations with Iwobi. It was a very, very poor performance. I think I can probably count on one hand performances that have been good since he's been at Everton. But in answer to your question, I would definitely prefer to persist with Anthony Gordon for the time being. And, you know, I wouldn't sort of just put, you know, Alex Iwobi in with the under-23s or the reserves or anything, because, you know, he's an asset financially that Everton may want to move on, and you've got to be careful because you don't want to banish him out of the first team, because hopefully Everton will be able to recoup some of the money that they spent on him. But he's not good enough, Nick, and I don't think he's ever going to be good enough.
Lee, do you share the same thoughts as Jack regarding Alex Iwobi? I know on social media a lot of fans are now asking for Anthony Gordon to start ahead of Alex Iwobi, especially on that right-hand side in front of Seamus Coleman, or even on the left, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Where do you sit with this? Do you think Alex Iwobi's had enough chances?
Yeah, I do. I think he's been here for, what is it, 2 or 3 years now. And aside from the odd glimpse, I remember being at Brighton, we were all there, and you know, I was sat next to Jack, and we were commenting on just how good Iwobi's second half performance was. He literally was faultless. He came on and he was brilliant that day. But I mean, those sort of fleeting glimpses of what he's potentially capable of are few and far between. So like I said earlier, I think Evertonians' patience with him is fast running out. If not, it's already run out. And as for Anthony Gordon, I do think he warrants a chance. I remember a good few years back now, I remember speaking to Kevin Sheedy at a bar in Muggle, and he was commenting around wingers, and I don't know who we were talking about at the time, it could have been anyone, I can't remember, but he was talking about wingers needing a run of games, just in the nature, you know, they can be quite streaky, you know, they might have an off game where, you know, crosses might come off, you know, they might come up against a really good fullback and the fullback on the day gets the better of him, but the next week could be a little bit different and you need that opportunity. So I think that's a good point that's been made. I think give him half a dozen games, give him a chance, a proper run in the side to show us what he can do and allow him to sort of grow in confidence and belief a little bit. And if he doesn't have a good game, it's not a disaster. You know, and I don't think there's going to be anyone calling for his head, because there should be an understanding that some weeks as a winger, your fullback might get the better of you. You know, you might try things and it doesn't necessarily come off. But Gordon's shown enough to suggest that he's got something. There's definitely a player in there. I remember when he first broke into the side, he was massively unlucky. He kept it in the post in the bar, if you remember. I think he needs one of those worldies that he used to score in the under-23s to go in. And I do think that will shoot his confidence right up. So I think now the time has arrived for him to be given a proper go. I think he's deserved that. He's been patient enough, and ultimately the people ahead of him, well, when I say the people, Iwobi, are just not producing the goods. So I think he can feel very hard done to if he isn't given an opportunity on Saturday against Watford. And another massive if is Richarlison coming back, because hopefully he doesn't take one of those wide positions and he's put back in up front, because we need to replace Rondon and we need a proper focal point up there in Richarlison, and then hopefully Gordon will get that opportunity out wide. So yeah, I absolutely agree. I think Iwobi's time's passed, but Jack makes a really, really great point there, and it's one that you don't immediately think of. We've got to be very careful how we handle him, because we're in a very precarious position. We haven't got many assets, and we could still command a fee for him. So it's not like we can just banish him to the stands. I think it has to be managed quite carefully. But Gordon needs to step in now. Yeah.
And to you, Ben, Alex Iwobi, where do you sit with him? I know sometimes you have been impressed with some of his performances, and other times not so much. But do you think now is the time to pull him out of the team, or would you persist?
Well, I think
beginning of this season, I think a lot of Evertonians agree, we kind of said, oh, he looks all right here, Iwobi. He's doing a bits and bobs. He looks interested, wants to get on the ball, and he predominantly wants to play in that 10 position. So I don't think he's a natural winger, to be honest. I think he does want to play in the 10 position. I just don't think Alex Iwobi will ever be right for Everton and the Everton fit. I just don't know why. I just don't feel like he comes across like the determination, the aggression that Evertonians can get right behind. Because like I said, even if you're performing not to the best of your ability, if you're putting the effort in, you're aggressive, you're tackling, you're tracking your men, you're trying your hardest, we'll still back you. I just don't feel like he comes across like that. Like Lee touched on there, he came on against Brighton and he was dynamic, he wanted the ball. And maybe that's what he could be for Everton. Someone could be off the bench when there's a few tired legs. And you've seen the Everton videos that the Everton admin and the content are bringing out. Every single player is saying Alex Iwobi is the most skillful player in the team. And sometimes I'm watching and I'm in utter disbelief to know how is he? He never really takes on a man. He doesn't really create much. He doesn't really score. I think he's only scored a couple of times for Everton, obviously, in the Premier League. I think both of them were against Wolves. So as a winger or stroke 10 as he wants to play, he's not getting assists. He's not getting goals. He's not taking on anyone. So what exactly is he doing? That is the question. Like, so you look at the other wing, look at Townsend, he's chipping in with goals, he's getting good assists. You look at Demarvey Gray, who again yesterday is literally walking past their defenders. Obviously, all like Ogbonna stood him up, went round him. And they're just reading a few threads on Twitter though. I just don't get why Iwobi was obviously playing against their right back. I can't remember his name, he's only a young kid. And we hardly went down that side. We hardly put him under pressure. This kid's playing on his debut at Goodison, which I wasn't there, but even watching on the TV, you could hear it wasn't up to full voice. It was kind of diminished. It was kind of like a Sunday afternoon stroll in the park. And I don't know if that affected the players, but he just didn't really want the ball. He didn't look interested. He kept on coming inside and we just kept on getting exposed. And then eventually Rafa decides to swap him and Gray. And as soon as Gray went onto the wing, he was literally just tearing people up like he does. Wanting the ball, demanding the ball, and being direct and aggressive. And he's just not showing any of that. But he, as Jack and Lee again have said, he's probably a player who does hold value. He's got age on his side. And I do feel like somewhere a team could come in and he could fit in very, very well. I don't watch enough teams enough to see where, but there's definitely buyout potential for Everton to obviously invest in him, getting money into the club. So obviously, hopefully, look elsewhere, because I just don't think it's going to work. It's been two years now since we paid obviously £28 million for him, and he just hasn't kicked on. I even think for Arsenal he didn't really kick on, and I think the whole Iwobi deal was a bit of a panic buy. Obviously you've read the stories about what happened. He was in Dubai on holiday chilling and got a call from his agent going, do you want to go to Everton? Literally a last minute deadline day move. And I think we once again tried all summer to get Zaha. That fall flat on his face and we panicked and said we need somebody in for cover and ended up paying maybe a bit over the odds for Iwobi. But look, I want him to be good. He's one of these players where you think you have got a bit about you, so show us what you can do. Beat a few players. And he just never, ever comes to show because he's not exactly slow either. So yeah, I just don't think it's going to work out long-term for Mick. It's a shame. It's a real shame. I was quite optimistic when we signed him, but he hasn't kicked on. And I feel like he's running out of chances very, very quickly. Them stats yesterday were nothing short of disgusting in my eyes.
Just talking about the stats, Matt Smith, I'm not sure if you've seen the stats, or I'm sure you have. What are your thoughts on Alex Iwobi and his output at Everton Football Club at the moment?
Yeah, I think I do think he looked a lot better in the second half when he was sort of moved into the central role. Probably mainly because it allowed Gray to get at their fullback, and I was sort of questioning in why he was starting, because I had a feeling he might start in the 10 and we get Gray on the left, because like Ben mentioned, Ben Johnson, the right back, I think he's only played once this season, and I just thought it was such a good chance to sort of get at him, a young lad playing at Goodison, and we just didn't see any of that. I think we had 30% of our attacks came down the left side, when normally it's the sort of majority is the left-hand side. Obviously, I've analysed most of the games, and yeah, I couldn't believe how little we were going down the left, and that's why I thought, you know, Awobi was playing. He'd play in the 10 and we could have Gray out wide. But yeah, he just doesn't, like Ben said, he doesn't take on a man, he doesn't create, he doesn't, you know, what does he actually do on the pitch? Because I think a lot of people think, oh, he gives the ball away a lot. His passing stats are generally quite good, but they were poor against West Ham. He just, like Ben said, with the stats that came up on Twitter, you know, the zero chances created, everything was zero. Literally, any stat you could think of, it was zero. And I think the issue we have is every decent performance we've seen from Awobi over the last couple of years has been a substitute performance. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I cannot remember a time where he's started a game and played the full game and we've gone, yeah, he's done well there. But you lads have been saying, he came on against Brighton, yeah, he looked decent there. And it was the same last season. And then that normally leads to him starting the next game when he comes on and then just not performing. And I think, how often are we going to keep this cycle going where, okay, he plays one game and he does all right, so we start on the next game and then he's terrible again. And we just need to accept he is a substitute player. But I think, realistically, in our best 11, he's not going to play anyway. Obviously, when Richarlison's fit and Calvert-Lewin's fit, he's not in the starting 11. But there is obviously question marks as to why he's starting over Anthony Gordon. I would have thought it had made sense against United, obviously, Awobi was injured, but because we hadn't seen much of Gordon. But after that performance against United, he certainly deserved it. And he's shown a lot of good direct running. And like I said, against that right back is exactly what we needed. And we saw it in the second half a couple of times with Gray and Digne linking up. We just needed more of that all game. And it was so obvious to see. I'm not sure how away we lasted 78 minutes, to be honest. But yeah, like we've mentioned as well, all this season, Rafa's been quite not reactive in his substitutions. You know, he's been sort of active and making the subs before something happens. And I think yesterday was the sort of first time where I looked at it and thought, okay, we've gone a goal down and he's gone, right, we need to make a change. Whereas it was calling for a sub a lot earlier than that. And it was disappointing to not see that sub made earlier or not start Awobi at all.
Matt Neil, moving away from Alex Awobi. Abdoulaye Doucouré played in a more forward position against Manchester United and was very, very effective at Old Trafford. Against West Ham, he had to sit in a bit more with Alan. Were you disappointed that Everton maybe at times didn't allow the freedom for Abdoulaye Doucouré to get forward and maybe bring on a Tom Davies to sit in next to Alan?
Yeah, that's the way I'd have gone, started the game. I think Rafa probably didn't want to dismantle what's worked so far, but for me, in certain games this season, Doucouré is that outball in terms of, I've spoke about previously there, in terms of not having that number 10. Well, I think he probably, not someone that can play the traditional number 10 role, but Kat is probably the only midfield player in our squad that can play slightly further forward and generally be a threat in attacking areas. Sometimes there is times in games where you've got to control the tempo of the game. And I think having another midfield player in there and allowing him to go slightly further forward would have 100% released him. I think at times he tried to do that. I didn't think he was as much involved as much in the second half, unfortunately. I thought once that first 20 minutes in the first half for West Ham went, we had that 10-15 minute spell. I think that we had a couple of really good opportunities, and he had a sort of half chance at the edge of the box there, and he had a header near the end of the first half there where he was getting in the box. And unfortunately, I just don't think we got the best out of our key performers so far this season. I think at times there's certain games where playing Gray in that central role will work this season. You know, maybe against teams that are lacking pace at the back through the middle. But as the lads have alluded to there, to not put any pressure under the young fullback Johnson, who's hardly played a game in the Premier League, was a mad one for me. And for me, still Gray's best position is off the left because it stretches other teams. And then in theory, that creates more space for the likes of Decore in midfield to do their thing. Again, just quickly touching on the Iwobi thing from my view. Again, he should be the one. He stated so many times that he's the one that wants to play the central role. He plays that for Nigeria. There's literally no number 10 in the squad, so he's the only sort of profile that wants to play there. How many more opportunities is he going to get? You know, he had a little spell like he did at the start of this season, last season, where we all thought, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, finally we're seeing him. It's all right doing it for three games, but then, you know, what about the other 35 games of the season? You know, for me, that one's gone. Get the best out of him up until January or the summer. He's 100% one I'd be shipping out. But yeah, maybe against Watford, depending on what Rafa thinks, maybe playing Decore slightly further forward might benefit them. I certainly think he will. I think teams are slowly working us out. I think they will work us out. I think, you know, there will have to be more to our game than what we've seen previously in the other seven games, in terms of we'll have to mix it up. And there will be certain games that we will have to control the tempo. And I think one of those games will be at the weekend. You know, we can't sit back and expect, you know, do what we did against West Ham and other teams against Watford. You know, that's just not going to work. So you'll have to find some sort of team, some sort of structure that allows us to control the tempo, recycle the ball. That was the annoying thing for me second half yesterday. You know, 60 minutes gone, 0-0. Attacking the Gladys Street end, you just want that ball to be recycled, you know, attack after attack, just for 5-10 minutes to really lift the place. Because we all know attacking that Gladys Street end, it does make a big, big difference. And I just think the whole midfield structure yesterday, Mick, was a bit all over the place. I don't think we got the best out of anyone. So hopefully we can find a solution for that against Watford and going forward before the January window, because for me, a midfield type that does that thing is a priority.
Jack, amongst all the hysteria of yesterday's defeat against West Ham United, Michael Keane has come out and spoke to the press. And when he was asked whether Everton would doubt a reality check, he's insisted that level heads are now required after the setback. And he's gone on to say, I don't think it's a reality check. People can say what they want. We know what we're about. And we know we can give anybody a game on our day. And then he went on to say, we didn't need a reality check. We've lost and we won't get too down about it. Do you think that's a fair assessment from Michael Keane?
Yeah, I do, Mick. I think calm heads is what's needed once you lose a game. It's always very easy, isn't it, on the back of a defeat to be quite down and to be quite negative. But then on the flip side, when you have a good win and things are going well, you've got to be careful to not get, I wouldn't say excited's the right word, but to almost, you know, start, you know, expectations don't rise too high. For me, it's not a reality check. And I know some fans will disagree with that. I think we've spoke about it on the podcast, haven't we? I think West Ham have come quite a long way in quite a short period of time. But if you're being honest, West Ham are one of those clubs that Everton are competing with. And there'll be games where they beat Everton. But who's to say that Everton won't go to West Ham later in the season and win there? Like I've said before already on the podcast, I didn't think there was a lot in it. I think Lee could be right. I think West Ham probably did shade it maybe across the 90, but reality check, no, not really, because I wasn't getting overly excited. I like watching Everton this season, but I'm not sort of having dreams of making the top four. Everton are way off that. So no, just calm head. And, you know, you move on to Saturday. It's great, Mick, that this defeat has happened not before an international break, because imagine having to sit on that result now for 2 weeks. It would be difficult, painful. But Everton can bounce back on Saturday, you know, 5-6 days, beat Watford, and then go into the away match at Wolves and try and win there. And things look very, very rosy again. But just like the Norwich game, I think the Watford game next weekend is a big one and a must win.
Lee, looking at the season as a whole so far, 8 games, 14 points, currently sitting 8th. Manchester United are also on 14 points, who lie in 6th, as are West Ham in 7th. Do you think Rafa Benitez and the management team will be reasonably satisfied where we are at the moment, or do you think they'll be a bit disappointed?
I think they've probably got high expectations and demands of themselves and the players, so I think there's probably a little bit of disappointment there. But let's not forget, we have been unlucky. I've certainly always thought, I'm like Jack, I've never really got excited even when we reeled off a couple of results back-to-back, because there was always that thought in the back of my mind, and I'm sure you guys, most Evertonians, also shared this thought that we were always an injury or two away from a defeat or two, if that's the way you want to put it. And that's what's happened. I think the key thing is now, yeah, is not to overreact, not to get too down over that defeat. I'll say it again, West Ham are a decent side and expect them to be up there in the top 6-7, whatever, this season. But it's imperative that we get Richarlison and or Calvert-Lewin back, because we are not in a position to lose players of that quality, because as we've said before, the drop off behind those two, it's just too big, and you're not going to cope with that. You might get the odd results, the odd decent performance out of it, but longer term, you know, over the course of 2, 3, 4 games, I think it's going to catch up with us and we are going to struggle. So I think Saturday, it's absolutely vital that we get Richarlison back. I think it will give the fans a lift. I think the whole place will feel a little bit different, just seeing someone different up front. I really do. I think there'll be a more of a positive energy around the place, a bit more enthusiasm, and thinking that we're probably going to see a little bit of a better performance. I know I certainly will feel a lot better if I can see someone else leading the line on Saturday. So overall, it's been a decent start. I think we have been incredibly unlucky to be hit with injuries of this nature so early on. You get really angry thinking of that Tarkowski tackle and the fact that he didn't get sent off for that. And ultimately, it's cost us Richarlison for a lot longer than we would have liked. Don't know what's going on with Calvert-Lewin. You know, he seems to be getting setback after setback. It's a little bit concerning. But we need these players back. They're good players. I think any side would miss them. But Everton certainly do, because our squad depth, as we have commented on numerous occasions thus far this season, it's just not there. And we've sort of just got to get through until January. I commented to the fella sitting next to me yesterday, it was just one of them games we had to get through and somehow scrape a point. Ultimately, it wasn't to be. But it was always going to be difficult with the players that we had out. We just need to get them back. Or I think if we don't, and if we don't get these players back in the next 3 or 4 weeks consistently, then I fear there is a chance that the season could tail off a little bit. Let's just pray that doesn't happen.
Ben, one other thing that is starting to really grate on a lot of Evertonians on social media is the Goodison Park atmosphere. Many Everton fans believe it's just not good enough at home games. The atmosphere is not good and it's currently not helping the players. It's very difficult, isn't it? You know, we travel around the country watching Everton play, and a lot of home grounds, home atmospheres are not particularly great. You don't have that hardcore, so-called hardcore, shall we say, away fans all congregated into one area who are willing to get the atmosphere going like and away support. So do you think the fans are being a little bit harsh on the Goodison Park faithful, or do you actually agree with them and think, yeah, you know what, the atmosphere isn't good enough?
It doesn't help. The Sky, BT, Amazon are moving us around every single week for TV image rights. And look, every home game I've been to this season, it's been the same. It's normally pretty mellow, a bit of a friendly-ish atmosphere. And then as soon as we go one or two goals up, the atmosphere picks up and it's non-stop singing. I think Everton fans are very reactive to the performance that's getting shown in front of them. When the effort's not there, the crowd don't respond. I don't think the crowd will react before the players do. I think if the players put a performance, putting some big tackles in, something to get them riled up and going, then you'll see a response. That's predominantly been the story around Goodison Park for a while. But like I said on previous podcasts, when it gets going, it's unbelievable. It literally does go off, like really does. It's non-stop. It echoes around the terraces. But there has been a few, obviously we've been to, I think, every away bar QPR. And it's pretty much the same everywhere you go. I think the best we've had was Leeds. I think they were non-stop for the whole game. Aston Villa, when we went there, was silence until they went probably 2-0 up. And then it kicked into life and it was like a proper old-fashioned ground. It went off then for the final 20 minutes against Aston Villa. And it was a really, I won't say it was good to be a part of, but I enjoy the atmosphere. I enjoy going. I enjoy the fans. I enjoy the experience. And that's what happened. The whole place got behind the players and there was only going to be one winner from there. So it is an issue. I know Everton tried to address it. Obviously, I think it was the Originals, 1878, tried to get a group of people towards the Gladys Street to sing, but then it caused a bit of an issue regards to other people with obstructive views because they're trying to get like a singing section. So it does need to get addressed, I think, and going into obviously Bramley Moor. I think it might be a bit too late for Goodison now. But it's never been amazing. How can I word it? It's really difficult. When we go 1 or 2 nil up, it bounces. And when we want a reaction, we get it. It's a really difficult question, that makes it touchy, and it's everyone's on them. It's on the topic of everyone's conversations on Twitter. I think a lot of home grounds are pretty much like Goodison. I know Brighton was like that was just surreal when we went down there. It was kind of like it wasn't a football ground. It felt like it was like a holiday experience. It was just like a day out, a day trip. Didn't feel like I was at a football match with the home fans, but I think you don't get the atmosphere with these new grounds, especially with the old terraces. It seems to creak, it seems to echo. But we need the players to get a reaction from the fans. I don't think we'll start cheering and chatting somebody's name if they're not performing, if you get what I mean. I'm trying to put it the best way I can. We need something from the players to kick it, to really kick on and get our singing voices on. But it does need to change. It's all fun and games when obviously the chants go off and the players get rallied up, but we need to see some back from the players. So, Nick, thanks for putting me on the spotlight there. It's a really difficult question. But, yeah, that's not my view on it.
Matthew Neil, what are your thoughts on the Goodison atmosphere? Do you think it could be improved? Do you think the club maybe need to get involved and work with Everton fans, maybe supporters clubs, to get the atmosphere better?
I do. But what I would say is that a common theme throughout this season has been slow starts, and it doesn't help the Goodison crowd. It's one of the most expectant crowds in the country, probably. And I think when Rafa has said on numerous occasions, I get Scousers, I get Everton, you know, I've lived in the city, I've done this, I've done that. I think he's right up to a point, but I don't think he quite gets what Goodison wants yet. I think he needs to understand that once we're on side, once Goodison's on side, then it's tough for anyone. But it was in a lull all day yesterday, not helped by the fact that whoever is on the timings for Zed cars must be in rewind mode or something, because it's about 5 minutes behind every time they come out in a minute. It's rubbish. You know, you've got the fire alarm still going off as the players come out. So that needs to be sorted out, because that's a big part of the Goodison atmosphere. Not many grounds get that type of noise as the players come out anymore. But I think certainly fast starts, certainly, you know, corners, free kicks, tackles, like Ben says, first 5-10 minutes. It doesn't mean you go gung-ho, you know, playing defenders on the halfway line, exposing yourself. I just think we need to come out the traps, certainly at home, a lot quicker. I think that must be every home game we've had so far has been the same in that regard. Onto the actual Goodison itself. Yeah, they've said they don't want rail seating at Goodison. Well, they can have lounges, but you can't have rail seating. That confuses me. If it's not rail seating, then it has to be some sort of ultra or singing section. I don't see anything wrong with that. I know certain people have tried to bring that in before and been, you know, laughed out of town. Well, I mean, if you enjoy atmospheres like yesterday, then, you know, go to the library, because what's the point? You know, we want Goodison to be rocking. And I certainly think the Goodison crowd, but I think Everton themselves can certainly do something about that, whether it's rail seating or a singing section would 100% improve the Goodison atmosphere, along with maybe a little bit more intensity in the first 5-10 minutes from the team.
Matt Smith, what are your thoughts on the Goodison atmosphere? Like I say, on social media, a lot of fans are now really heavily criticising the atmosphere. They say, you know, you can hear a pin drop at times. Do you think the club should get involved and maybe try and figure out a plan on how to generate an atmosphere? I know many fans say, you know, you can't manufacture an atmosphere, but I think you can, can't you? You know, look at Celtic, for instance. They have a corner, and I might be wrong, I think it's called like the Green Brigade or something along those lines. They all stand and they create that atmosphere, and so do other clubs. Do you think it's something that Everton should maybe look at, especially when they move into Bramley Moor?
Yeah, definitely. I think I brought it up on Twitter a few weeks ago, actually. I was watching the Crystal Palace game, and obviously they have their, sort of, I think they're called the Honesdale Fanatics, I think. And you hear their atmosphere every single game, and it's electric. And I've got a lot of stick for it on Twitter. A lot of people agree, and it's very much a 50-50 split, which I think represents quite a lot of the sort of Everton fans. They're sort of split. You get the certain people that aren't interested, and then you get the ones that do want to push it. But yeah, a lot of people were just like, oh, it's just someone with a drum. And yeah, look, okay, it may be artificial, it may be like they're forcing it, but it does create an atmosphere, and it does give that little extra edge. I think you've made great points with the, you need something from the players. And, you know, whenever there's a big tackle, a counter-attack, something like that, that's what gets the crowd going. And performances like yesterday, I think a lot of people highlighted the atmosphere yesterday more than sort of any other game this season. And it goes hand in hand with the performance. And I don't know if people agree, but I thought the last sort of 10 minutes when we were chasing a goal, it just seemed like there was no urgency from any of the players. And I think, you know, what sort of gets the crowd going is we get a corner and, you know, Townsend or Gray should be sprinting to the corner, you know, and sort of trying to get the fans going. And that's what the Everton fans will appreciate that. You know, they'll get on board with that. And I saw one incident, I did notice, where we had a corner. It was late in the game and obviously we were 1-0 down and Gray's sort of walking over to the corner. You know, the fans are clapping him, but, you know, in that situation where you're chasing a goal, You want your players to be sprinting there, looking like they actually want to equalise. It didn't look like we did. So that was quite concerning. And how do you expect the fans to get up for a game, you know, to get up for it, if the players aren't really showing it? In previous games this season, you know, it's always been a sort of comeback at home. You know, the Burnley and Southampton games, for example, you know, we go a goal down half-time or just after half-time, and then you get that quick couple of goals, and then all of a sudden it's bouncing. So it does sort of directly relate to performance, but, you know, we do need to improve the atmosphere because it can help the performance. So we can't just rely on the sort of players to bring the atmosphere for us, you know, with the getting the crowd up and things. So I definitely think something has to be done, but realistically, nothing's going to be done at Goodison Park. Like you said, they've already sort of said no about the rail seating. But yeah, definitely there should be plans in place for the move to Bramall Moor.
And there we have it. Everton 0, West Ham 1. We move on to Watford at home on Saturday. Thanks to Jack, Lee, Ben, Matt and Matthew for joining us as always. We will be back Wednesday evening with all the talk and all the pre-match chat over Everton versus Watford again, which is a Saturday, a 3 p.m. kickoff. In the meantime, stay safe, have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday. Take care and all the very best. Thank you.